Yeah, it's not a good way to start a podcast, but if we're ready, we can start it.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of the Seer podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I guess we'll call this the jailbreak episode. I'm out. Down there in the bottom square. He's beaming in from Austin. He's enjoying the warm weather. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Boys, I just got done with a sprint workout. I've been doing push-ups in the yard. I'm feeling pumped. I'm feeling swole. Ted, I'm on board, man. Let's go get it.
What yard? I've been to your
You
building.
Were talking about prison. I'm like, hitting him in the yard. I was actually at the local high school. And weirdly, I saw a YouTube celebrity there. So,
speaking of our own YouTube celebrity, beaming in from Palm Springs, Matt, Comma the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. Hey, Cobb. I've been swimming lately, trying to get shredded for this pool party this summer.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm on that Cobb game.
Yeah. I gotta start tanning.
Beaming in from Palm Springs, where all the celebrities are.
Right. I did serious. I was Googling today, like tanning salons in my neighborhood. Not going down there being the whitest guy. Also, so we will be at Cobb's wedding in June. I've got some stuff. I got a trip back east in May. But it's funny, like, Cobb, it's been the talk of the town between our friends. People talking really? About the wedding, asking about the wedding. And it's been a lot of talk about what people are going to wear to the wedding. And I have found what I think is my outfit, which frankly, I wouldn't wear to a normal wedding. But I'm like, I think I can pull this off. It'll look pretty dope.
Oh, I can tell you right now, whatever it is, you can pull it off. It's more of a costume party vibe than a formal wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I liked.
Some people are bringing the heat. The bar is high.
It's also funny because we have mutual friends that are not big sports people. So there's a couple people that Cobb and his fiance know that are sports people. And I was like, hey, keep an eye on me. Don't let me get drunk and start talking to somebody. They're like, who is that? I'm like, well... That person's like, I was like, it doesn't matter. Just forget it. You wouldn't even notice if I was drunk talking to the wrong person. Not the wrong person. Just be like, don't nerd out. And usually I'm the cool guy. And you could have Joe Rogan could be there. I'd be like, all right, cool, whatever. But I'm like, ooh, I really like that person.
Yep. Minor sports celebrity, Ted Smith's kryptonite.
The only one I was really bad with was Ice Cube, but I didn't know he was coming into the studio. That was an
that would catch me off guard. Just seeing Cube out of nowhere.
And the way our studio used to be set up in the main KSW studio, like I'm behind the board. So when he walks in, it's just that like counter between me and him. And it was hard not to curse on the air. I was just like, what up, Cube?
Yeah, dude, that's tough not to react. I mean, if you know he's coming in, all right, but just to have him just walk out next to you while you're in the middle of your job is real. That's crazy.
Yeah. And like, look, I didn't nerd out too bad on him, but like, this will sound bad as I know, like, I work at a rock station, but like, meeting Ozzy Osbourne, super cool, right? But like, I didn't grow up listening to Ozzy. Like, I grew up listening to Cube.
Yeah.
You know, Ice Cube. So I was like, oh man, this is wild. I mean, hell, you saw how giddy I was when we were talking to Redman on here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, and I never know, like, when you see celebrities, you know, are you supposed to react? Like, is it better for them if you react or if you don't react? You know, like, does it charm the ego if you react, or is it better? You know, what's the move? What's the right move?
I don't know. I can only use, like, we're talking to Tyler Smith last week. By the way, thanks for Tyler for coming on. That was a fun episode.
That was so fun.
So, like, Adam Ray, who's from Seattle, is a big comedian. Like, I clearly was not cool when I talked to him, but I was like, nah, he's cool. And he DM'd me that when I DM'd him, he's like, don't sweat it. But then like Jeff Dye, who's from Seattle, who's a pretty big comedian. Years ago, he used to date Becky Lynch from the WWE. So we were going to the home shows at Safeco, and we're all drinking at Elysian beforehand. And like Migs, kind of through the wrestling world, like had gotten tickets for Becky. So she's like, hey, come over here and hang out with us. She's dating Jeff Dye. And I just said something about Burning Man, and he would just had never been. He's like, oh, you've been? So, I mean, we're chatting it up for like 30, 40 minutes. Like, there's some other kind of well-known WWE people at the table. I don't know wrestling enough. So me and Jeff are just kind of chopping it up. And then I'll never forget, like, I'm eating a taco, and for some reason, halfway through the taco, I just went, oh, fuck. My bad, dude. You're not just Jeff. You're Jeff Dye. And he's like, oh, yeah. I love your work. So like, I don't know if it's better to just come out and be like, oh, I know you, you're a celebrity, or I didn't mean to slow play him. I just kind of did.
I feel like that's the ultimate move. Cause then it's not weird later if you say something that you would only know if you were a fan, but also like you don't just come right out the gate and he puts you in the fan category, you know? Like,
yeah, you that's the perfect the friend example. Category.
Yeah, perfect move, Ted.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for, is a playbook.
Yeah, I think also it depends too, like, I don't know, you might know, but you don't have to bring it up right away. Now obviously this is different if we're talking about like The Rock, or, you know, I'm trying
the
to
Rock knows who, you know,
McConaughey lives in Austin.
Yeah, dude, I see a lot of, like, I don't know what they'd be, like tier 3 or 4, like a lot of internet celebrities. I would say more celebrity probably is pretty, I mean, like people with followings, celebrity feels a little over the top.
Right.
I don't know though, man. Like,
let's see.
By the way, did I bring this up last week? Do you guys know the comedian Drewski?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think he's hilarious. And like, he's got his Could Have Been Records. He's got a show on YouTube now, Could Have Been House. Like, I've been watching it. But I've brought up, to me, he's a massive celebrity. But I've brought him up in other circles, and people are just like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yo, man, we standing on business. And just, they just have no idea. So like, to me, the internet people are celebrities. It's just, it's different, I guess.
Yeah. Wait, what's his name?
Drewski.
I'm looking him up just to get a rangefinder here. Okay. So Drewski has 1.5 million followers is it followers on YouTube? What's it called? Subscribers?
Subscribers, yeah.
The guy that I saw is 15.4 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he counts as a celebrity.
Yeah. I don't know if it was that big. I haven't watched his channel, but.
It's not too turnt Tony, is it? That's my new guy.
But, dude, as far as the, you're saying like people not knowing who you know, it's crazy. There's been a huge decentralization of media. I mean, you guys are both aware, but it's interesting. Like, you know, you go from like the 70s and 80s, you know, there was only three channels, or in the 70s, there's only like three channels. Everyone's watching like the same three shows every night, you know? It's like, there's only a couple options. So it's like, oh, are you this guy, or this guy? It's like, you have the same celebrities. A big movie release would come out, and that's like kind of the movie for the month. But now it's like, dude, you could be watching 1,000 different shows on Netflix and 1,000 more on Apple TV. And everyone's just seen different stuff, you know, and YouTubers and podcasts and whatever.
Right. Look at, I always give people this example, right? It's, you know, when you work in radio, people like, you know, people still listen to radio and this and that. It's like, I'm not going to say the number, but like through ratings, you know, like on average, how many people at any given time are listening to, say, the Men's Room. That's a pretty big number. But then you break down like somebody like, say, Jimmy Fallon, who is super famous and stuff. But like, he doesn't have as many people every night watching his show as listening to the Men's Room. But because he's national and he's on a network, you think of them as being like that much of a bigger celebrity.
Yeah, that's true. You really do.
Right. So then when you see these YouTube or Instagram kind of famous people, I mean, hell, let's just use Cooking with Daryl. I mean, to me, Daryl is a pretty big celebrity. But like, there's other people that just have no idea who he is, and this and that.
Yeah, that is wild. Daryl was a G, dude. I liked that guy.
He's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's super cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
and when we did the Men's Room out at Black Raven like a month ago on that Friday, it was kind of funny. A couple guys came up to me and like, don't generally look like our demographic, and they're like, oh no, we used to work with Daryl. And I'm like, oh, so you know Matt's dad? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, are you guys all friends? And they're like, we're friends with Mitch now, but like, he was our boss.
Yeah, before, not so much.
So, I mean, it's just funny. It's like, and you forget, like, yeah, that guy is kind of big on the internet, but like, he had a whole 2 careers before this. He's cooking. Yeah. He's cooking, and his daughter puts it up on TikTok or whatever.
I know. Wait, so is he cooking with himself full time?
Yeah, remember he told us he has 2 interns. Like that. That's a job.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Oh, yeah, Drewski, I think, is hilarious, but it's just funny. Like, there's just people that don't know those comedians, and I'm like, now, granted, with my job, I'm on the internet a lot more than other people, but I'm like, don't you ever see funny skits on the internet? You never bother to know who the comedian is?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I feel like every comedian I learn about now is like because I saw them on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, and it's good for them, you know? It's like, I was going to say, there's a bunch of, like, we're so used now to, like, you know, guys selling out arenas and stuff, but there's a bunch of national acts that tour all the time that are massive, you know? But, yeah, if you're not into it, you don't know it, so.
I mean, if all 3 of the headliners at Coachella, if any of them were walking down the aisle in the grocery store next, I wouldn't recognize Lana Del Rey. I wouldn't recognize Tyler, the Creator, and I wouldn't recognize Doja Cat. Like, they'd probably have a posse, you know, but
Tyler, I feel like he's the only one I might be like, man, that looks like Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, Cobb, would you know any of those 3?
Of which 3? I'm sorry. I was
Doja Cat, Tyler, the Creator, or Lana Del Rey. They're walking.
If I saw them in person?
Yeah. Just randomly, no entourage, you know.
Probably Tyler, the Creator, but no way would I recognize Doja Cat. 0% chance on the other 2. Tyler, yeah, the Creator, like, I think I would, yeah, 50-50 shot. I'm not good at recognizing celebrities.
Well, I would say, too, it's like, man, I know you didn't go, but like Dom Dolla and John Summit, 2 of the biggest DJs in music right now, but they just kind of look like younger white dudes. Just like, dudes. If they just walked by me in a grocery store, right, I'm not sure I'd be like, oh, shit, there's John Summit.
Right.
But if you were like, if Cobb was like, hey, stay an extra day in Austin, John Summit's playing a show, I'd be like, in.
Right. Yeah, totally. Speaking of, he's actually coming to town fairly soon. I just saw that yesterday. That's like, oh, nice.
By the way, did you see the mayor was down at the Sphere for Phish?
Oh, my God. That looked so... I saw a drone video of Phish at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Jesus Christ, boys. That was one of the coolest pieces of concert footage I've ever seen.
I think Phish set a new standard. Like, I saw the YouTube footage and stuff, like, that just looked insane.
I mean, gosh, what a human experience. Like, just from seeing that video, I for sure now will go to the Sphere at some point, you know? I can't even imagine who would be the best to see there.
I mean, after Phish, I think the Dead's doing like a few days there. Like, I just feel like those jam bands set up better for that stuff. Like, a lot of people listening to this probably never seen Phish or the Grateful Dead. I've never seen the Dead. I've only seen Phish. But even when you just go to festivals, like those jam bands, like they just feel like they've been working on lights and stuff. And look, I'm sure it doesn't help that a huge part of it, you know, involves marijuana or psychedelics, like, you know, like Pink Floyd. I feel like they've been working on this stuff for a while. So it's just like, yeah, that venue's really going to work for them.
Yeah,
like, yeah, we've been working on this one since 87. We got it. This is our time to shine.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, they did a lot of stuff. Like, dude, we could do this, we could do that. And like their third eye, if you want, is already open to the possibilities when they walk in there and be like, all right, we could do this, we could do that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I was just wondering the other day at, I think it was OPO, like how they even generate those graphics, man. Some of those are such crazy, like, I don't even know, computer simulations that you're like moving through now. I mean, just the light and sound we get in this day and age, like what a time to be alive, boys. It's crazy. We're getting like the best of everything, scraping the cream off the top.
Yeah. I also like now too that like, you know, they used to call them boiler sets or whatever, and it was kind of rare that DJs were doing DJ or daytime stuff. Like, I see a lot of videos now, and I kind of like it. Maybe just because I'm old, but I'm like, that is kind of dope. Like Matt was saying, Matt was like, we didn't make it to Dom Dom, but he didn't start till midnight. Like, I kind of like the idea of being like, Matt, we could go out during the daytime and party as well.
Oh, yeah. Dude, one cool thing is called Daybreaker, and they start their parties at like 9 a.m., go ham, and then they're done by like 11:30.
Yeah. Man.
Daybreaker, dude. Yeah.
Well, I remember when Vegas started doing those day parties. It just caught my attention. I'm like,
Oh,
that
yeah.
is wild. And also, like, look, I could, the coyote could still stay up late at night with the best of them, but like, daytime partying is fun.
Ted, we would crush a champagne-based pool party. I think that feels like at the age we're at, that feels like more of our move, you know, in Vegas. Just go hard in the afternoon, be asleep by 8. Like finish with like a big nice dinner instead of like have a big nice Vegas dinner and go out, you know? Like long day, you finish with a tomahawk steak and slide into bed.
I mean, sounds lovely. There's also the random chance of like, dude, it's only four. Let's keep rocking and rolling.
Oh yeah, the coyote does not go to bed early. We all know that.
I mean, I
No
did in
chance.
Vegas the last Sunday I was there, but that was only because I had barely slept through Saturday and was like, ah, fuck it. It's 10 a.m. Let's start rifling beers and watching football.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like towards the end, but like Vegas, dude, I just know when that plane hits the ground, like the coyote catches the scent.
He's
I
still
don't
out.
know, Ted. You're just literally one of the only men in America who I've seen get stronger as the night goes on. 90% of men fade, and just Ted just rise. Your star rises about starts rising about 1 a.m.
Dude, I mean, look, I did it this weekend, right? Like, I had to calm myself down. I was down in Portland visiting some people. So it had been a long, like, 24, like, doing stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then, the race, the Chinese Grand Prix, started at midnight. So I was like, I might watch a little bit of it. And I was like, well, I got a White Claw in this little fridge. Or, you
Oh
know, and it's
my
like 2 a.m.
gosh.
And I'm like, this has been a hell of a goddamn race.
Dude, your commitment to obscure world sports is astonishing.
It's getting worse. Like I'm telling you, well, this time of year, especially as there's no football, I'm just like, geez, oh, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, I watched the show on IndyCar, so now I'm interested in that. And like, I've been
Open
Googling, I've
wheel
been trying,
driving, baby.
right? And I know I was talking to somebody and they go, do you just love driving? I was like, no, I f-ing hate it. I go, but I
I just got my
thoroughly,
license.
right? Like, I thoroughly enjoy watching other men risk their lives in these cars going as fast as they can. But like,
Oh,
no,
dude.
I hate driving. Dude, it took me 5 hours to get back from Portland on Sunday.
Dude, Ted, you know when I'll know you have a problem with sports? When you start trying to get us into high lie. That's the line, dude. If you try to get me gambling on high lie, I am out. I'm taking you into treatment, legit.
I'll tell you what, if we were in Miami, I would definitely go to a high lie event.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'd have like a suit just for high lie events. Wait, so you said it took 5 hours coming back from Portland? Was that on a Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon,
Oh,
your boy was
buddy.
cruising along, and I'm not kidding you. They had construction that took it down to one lane on an I-5. So it took,
No.
I was cruising. And then it took, I had to call my buddy Sean. I was like, I had to talk to somebody. He's like, why? And I'm like, this traffic's bad. And then it took me 1 hour and 40 minutes from Boeing Field to get to just North Seattle.
Oh.
It was
Oh.
awful.
Did you listen to the men's room? No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
It's a
it
Sunday. I'm just with you.
Sunday, yeah.
I know.
Actually, listen, if you really want to
Let's
know
do
the
a little
truth,
game tape, you know?
I go back and forth between two stations on road trips, either tailgate radio, which is mostly country, or Tiesto radio.
Which is mostly Tiesto.
Is, but he mixes in some other stuff.
Dude, that's awesome. I'll never forget what our mutual friend told us about Tiesto, whose like friend was his manager, just that he takes a vitamin B shot before going on stage. I was like, that's badass.
Yeah, and like they rehydrate with banana bags every day, and we're like, that's insane. And then it was like, we should do that.
Yeah.
Cobb, I told a story today on the men's room. Thrill was talking about giving blood, and like, I guess wherever they put the needle was in a scar, so it like filled up the blood thing real quick. And he was like, I don't know if that's good or bad. I go, I think that's good. It means everything's working healthy. I go, I've taken a banana bag in the desert, and like, I clearly drank more than my buddy, because like, he was in the RV for half an hour. I was like, my bag, my body was like, yeah, we'll take that bag down in 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Dude, actually, 2 years ago for Burning Man, I did 3 bags at once. It was pretty crazy. Yeah. My blood pressure was very, very low.
Did you guys watch any of this boxing match over the weekend?
What boxing match?
Garcia and Haney.
No.
No.
All right, so Ryan Garcia, pretty good, famous boxer. He's only lost to a Tank, Gavante or whatever, from Baltimore. But in the lead up to it, there was all this crazy stuff. Like, he was posting on social media a couple months ago that he got kidnapped and like he might be dead. And then he was like, it was just a hoax. And then it literally, like, I was telling everybody, like, I was like, that dude's smoking meth. And he's just, he might not be on meth right now, but he's lost his mind. Like, he seemed insane. Like, just, I mean, I can't even explain. It's just wild behavior, this and that. Then he was 3 pounds over for the bout, which doesn't sound like much, but in the boxing world, like, you miss weight by like a half pound. That's a big, or a pound. You miss by 3 pounds. It's like you didn't really care.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's not doing enough meth.
Yeah, but then he went out there and dominated. And I just, it's, I mean, it's sports, but it's like, I couldn't have been more wrong. Like, I was willing to bet money. I was like, Haney's going to fucking hurt him.
Wait, like, thought he was on meth and that did not aid his training?
Correct.
Oh, I thought you were saying he was on meth and that's why he's so freaking powerful. And I was like, that is not the worst training strat I've ever heard.
No, I think it might have just been a troll job. Like, maybe he's not that. It was just weird, dude. Mm. And he's talking about, he's got all this evidence in Hollywood about all these child predators. So people are like, all right, well, produce the evidence. He's like, I'm fighting for God. I mean, just think of the crazy person on the corner ranting and raving where you're like, that guy's insane. But
yeah.
Yeah. Then he went out there and dominated. And it was just, I tweeted out that night. I was like, apparently I know nothing about boxing or who I think is on drugs. Cause I was like, you can hear it in my voice right now. I am still shocked how wrong I was. I was like, that dude's lost his mind.
Alternate theory. If you're on meth, you'd probably be a pretty good boxer. Increased reactions, increased stamina, decreased signals to your brain that your muscles are tired. Amphetamines are powerful.
Yeah, but I mean, he passed the drug test. But I think you can be manic without being on any form of speed. And speed gets out of your body.
For sure. Sure.
Pretty quickly. But like, yeah, I don't know, man. He was talking about, you know, I mean, it was insanity. I was like, this is wild. But he's been hanging out with Jake Paul, but yeah, I thought maybe you guys had seen some of it. I was just like, man, I couldn't have been more wrong about that.
Dude, no, but related to boxing, Tyson and one of the Paul brothers. What do you think about that?
I had a lot of thoughts till Saturday night. I don't even want to talk about the draft right now, as I feel like the dumbest sports fan in America. I mean, that's how wrong I was about that fight Saturday night. So I'm like, in theory, like, Tyson's almost 60. Jake Paul should drop him. But I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Tyson goes out there and drops him. Like, I honestly, I don't know anymore. I can't tell. This is the issue with some of these influencers. Like, so this Garcia thing, is this all an act? Does he really need mental help? Like, mental health help? That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know right now.
Yeah, it is weird when, like, you cross the line. You're like, is this, like, content or, like, you know. Yeah, it's tough to tell what's real and what's not and what's just like to increase the clout and get paid. I mean, I was surprised Mike took that fight, but I'm also seeing his training videos and I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, you want to take a kidney shot from Mike Tyson? I don't care how old he is. Like, he can rock.
I'll tell you this much. I'm not watching that fight.
No, me neither. Do they have a big weight difference?
Mike weighs more, but Jake's taller.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm also not watching that fight. I'm not supporting the Paul brothers at all. I have some issues with them.
And Matt, this isn't like one of those fights where I say I'm not going to watch it and then I watch it. I can guarantee you I won't watch it because I will be at White River Amphitheater for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Wow.
Nice. University of South Carolina's most favorite famous graduate.
Oh, for sure. I mean, my dad lived in Columbia, South Carolina, where the University of South Carolina is, for like 3 years. And like me and my brother Chris, like one day we went over to the campus to look around. Like their Hall of Fame has a lot of Hootie and the Blowfish and Darius Rucker stuff. And that was before Darius became a country star. That was just Hootie.
Oh, nice. Yeah, his country stuff's good, man. Wow. So you're going to go see him live? I'm jealous.
Yeah, I just, you know, I said to somebody, I was like, because there's something else I was supposed to do. I'm torn between a couple things. And they were like, dude, Darius Rucker is going to be around for a while. But like, I don't know how often he's going to tour with Hootie, like his actual band. And I was like, that's a good call. So I'm going to go to that one. Plus, it just seems like a fun, what's it, July 20th or something, sitting outside on the hill, listening to Hootie.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's a good move. You will not regret that.
Matt, you want to come up?
Man,
go.
I mean, that's tempting. You know, I love my 90s reunions.
And you did just go see No Doubt.
Right. Right. I mean, why not? That does sound like a fun show. I don't know. It's Hootie, man. I mean, but I know two songs. Like, how many songs do you know by them, Ted? How much do you listen to Hootie and the Blowfish?
So when I was like, 18 or 19, and I was coaching at Coach Wooten's basketball camp up in Frostburg, Maryland, like there was three sessions a day, right? You know, like the morning session, then you'd have a little break. Then there's like an afternoon session, a little break, and then like an evening session where you're like coaching and teaching kids stuff. And me and one guy, he was a coach from Delaware. I had one of the, this is going to sound so dated, but keep in mind, this is 2000, 2001. So my alarm clock was also a CD player.
And hell like, yeah.
Yeah.
In between those sessions, we would sit in either his room or my room, and we would listen to Cracked Rear View and eat Swedish fish. I don't know how it started with Swedish fish, but it became like a joke, like, hey, man, you want to go get some fish? And I mean, we wore out that record. So I'm telling you, like, this isn't a new thing for me. Like, I will defend the day I die that Cracked Rear View top to bottom is a phenomenal record.
Yeah, it stands. I'm with you. Also, God, what an iconic, the CD player alarm clock.
Oh, I think it was huge.
Oh, bro, just because of one of those, I woke up to Len, You Steal My Sunshine for 3 years straight, every day for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the reason I love Timberlake so much. His first solo album, Justified, somebody burned it for me. I was living in, and I'm not kidding you, I mean, a hellhole of a little basement apartment in Baltimore in a row house. And that was like the only CD I had. So like, I emotionally bonded with that record.
Dude, I love that. Honestly, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel like with the CD player alarm clock, it gets to the point where just hearing the CD start spinning, you wake up. Yep. Like, here we go.
Yeah.
Like before the music starts.
Yeah, so Matt, I know most of that album. Plus, you figure it's Darius Rucker, so like, he's gonna sing some of his other hits too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just feel like I don't, certain music fits better, whether it's White River Amphitheater or the Gorge, right? Like, look, I like Pearl Jam. Watching Pearl Jam at the Gorge, sitting on that hill, is just awesome. And like, I'd go see Hootie at Climate Pledge, but I feel like summertime, sitting on the hill of White River, like that's when you go see Hootie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a lot better. Yeah, it is venue dependent. You know, it kind of depends on the type of music, the time of year.
Yeah, and just like who the band is, right? Because like, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just some bands like, for instance, you know, the mayor and I saw Swedish House Mafia at Climate Pledge. Now, you know, like, yeah, I, you know, super group. Like, you know, DJs. I'm like, right, we should be in an arena. Like, I don't know if I want to sit on the hill and listen to those three guys.
Yeah, but like, it'd be fun as hell to see them at Showbox Market.
Oh, would dominate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seriously. God, that's awesome.
Oh, man. All right. What else did I have coming up for this weekend? Oh, you know what? I'm not even going to bring it up. Cobb's already given me a warning about
what a
going
teaser.
too deep into sports. I'm going to go watch the Huskies play college baseball Saturday.
Ted Smith. Dude, you're talking about getting into open wheel racing, and now you're getting, I mean, high lie. I'm fine. Dude, you watch what you want to watch, but when you don't call me when you want someone to, for a highlight match. Okay.
All right. Matt and I will go. We'll meet Darius Rucker down there.
Yeah. I'm in, dude. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Ted, you're, you know, you're pushing the definition of I'm a big sports fan to a new realm. Like, you're raising the bar that I set for other people. I enjoy holding myself to high standards and having high standards of others and just, you know, raising the bar. And, like, people are like, oh, I watch all my team's football games every – or I have Sunday ticket in a red zone. Like, I'm a big sports fan. Like, when was the last time you watched cricket?
Yeah.
So I thought,
you're not a
shut
sports
up,
you're poser. Not a sports fan. Yeah, you're a baseball fan. Okay.
Right.
Ted, yeah, like, one more, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say one more thing on it. You know, the call I do hope I get, maybe I was too harsh. The call I do hope I get is you like 11 p.m. You're like, hey man, you gotta fly down here, bring $10,000 in cash. I got a lock on a highlight match. Trust me, dude. Trust me, that's the call I'm here for. I will come down. I will make the bet one time. If we lose, I may never speak to you again.
You're a finance guy. I'm a sports guy. It's perfect.
And I'm pretty sure that was the issue with Highline back in the day. Was that they were fixing all of it.
Exactly, dude. That's why I'm like, I hope your lock is better than the guy on the other side of this bet's lock.
Also,
how
too,
well
man,
do you know that towel boy? You know,
I just know enough and I pay attention when people talk. It's like, listen, I like open wheel racing, but I don't know a ton about other racing. And then some guy, I was talking about F1. I was like, I'm getting into this or that. And he's like, I like, you ever watch drag or like the whatever nationals? And I was like, is that drag racing or is that funny cars? He's like, oh, you know a little something, huh? Now, at that point, I shut up because that's about the only thing I knew. Or I could, you know, I think I threw in like they run in they're running gas or ethanol. But like after that, I was done.
Ted, dude, you know, you do know like just a little something about a lot of things. It's a great gift of yours. In fact, I've kind of stolen it from you. Like when people are talking to me, I'm like, oh, where, like they're from Washington. I'm like, where'd you go to high school? And they're like, oh, you know, wherever. And I'm like, oh, is that the Vikings? Go Puyallup, you know, or whatever it is. Just like, it's honestly a great way to make a quick connection.
Yeah, I was pumped today. What's her name? Haley Van Lith, the blonde girl from LSU that was like on the team in the game.
Yeah.
So it's big news if she might transfer. Where's she going to transfer to? So I was like, let me Google this girl. I was like, no shit, from Wenatchee. And I was like,
are you talking about the gymnast? Who are you talking about?
Nah, this is a women's basketball player.
That's Olivia Dunn.
That, thank
I
you.
I think.
Matt. Yes, it
see,
is.
See, Olivia Dunn. I respect what she's doing. I just don't know that she's that good.
She doesn't have to be, Ted Smith. This is America. What sells, Ted?
Sex sells.
Sex sells, Ted.
Right. You think DK doesn't want to wear a full shirt? He does. The Seahawks make him wear all those cutoff shirts.
Exactly, dude.
That's what it is, Matt. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I heard when the new coach came in, he was like, first rule of business, DK, stay shirtless, my man.
Those crop tops are fine.
Right? Well, look, we'll change all the Pete slogans. We're not changing you in crop tops, son.
Well, Ted, you're my sports guy. I don't want to start any rumors, but did we ever find out what the deal was with Bill Belichick being at the UW practices? Football practices.
Yeah. One of his sons is a coach there, is an assistant there.
Oh, and he was just like helping his son run practice?
So originally, that's what I always forget. Cobb's on a thread with three like sports nerds.
Yeah.
So his son, the crazy looking one that always had in a dip in New England, I forget his name, but he got Jed Fish hired him. So he's already on staff. And then Belichick came out for a coach's clinic, Bill did, for a coach's clinic. And then people were just surprised at that picture because that was like a few days later. And it's like, oh, like Bill Belichick's just at practice now helping out. So that's why everybody was kind of geeked up and fired up. And like, look, I don't know what happens with that program. I think Jed Fish is, they're in good hands. I like what they're doing. Like Pete Carroll's been over there kind of giving the boys some pep talks. Their spring game this year is on, what's it, next Friday night, Dogs After Dark.
Popping pads, baby. Let's go.
Oh, I'm going. Like, you can't, like, it's not just the kids for the spring game. Us tailgaters got to get ready, too.
Oh, yeah. Dude, definitely. Orange and white is this Saturday, I believe, in Texas.
I bet in Austin that spring game is a massive deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. They play in the stadium.
Yeah. Well, like there was a picture from like last year's spring game or 2 years ago. People are like, this is why DeBoer left. Look at Alabama's spring game. And it's like almost full. It's like, but also they live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Like, what else are they going to do? And then last year, I read something that said last year when the Huskies had their spring game, in a major metropolitan market, which is Seattle, there was also a Mariners game, like a Sounders game, and I want to say like a Storm game. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get on Husky. Like, Husky fans show up and fill that stadium when it's game time. Like, I'm not going to get too worried because there's not thousands upon thousands for the spring game.
Yeah, and it's also still kind of wet and just like whatever. You know, but that program is getting bigger and their national prominence now is pretty cool.
Yeah. And like, again, I'm not trying to hate on Alabama, but if you live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, like there's no other game in town.
Yeah. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, there's right. What are you going to go to the basketball, the pro game? No.
I bet Hootie doesn't even stop in Tuscaloosa.
He has to. Those college stadiums, those boys have to play.
Seems like a good
I'm so tempted. I'm honestly tempted to look up his tour. What's your confidence level, Ted?
Does Hootie and the Blowfish, the band, do they stop? I mean, if they played in Alabama, I bet they would play. Would they play in Birmingham or Tuscaloosa? I'll take a dollar that says they play Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and play the football. Play Brian Denny Stadium.
On all this right, tour?
On up the
if,
tour?
If they stop in Alabama.
All right, we have an Arkansas stop. We have a Missouri stop. Alabama. Sorry, I'm scrolling as fast as I can, trying not to miss anything. Oh, we do have Alabama, and it's not Tuscaloosa, but let me look it up and see if it's like, you know, the city next to it. Pelham, Alabama, at the Oak Mountain Amphitheater. Or Pelham, maybe? Pelham?
Birmingham and Tuscaloosa are the only two towns I know.
Pelham.
That's the other...
Yeah, it's pretty close to Birmingham, south of Birmingham.
All right. That's the other issue with the amphitheaters, right? Like, when people play White River, they say, what's up, Seattle? Like, they're not going to be like, what's up, Auburn?
Yeah. And it looks like that's actually pretty close to Tuscaloosa, too. It looks like the three of those are kind of, you know, close-ish.
Yeah.
But he's not getting that stadium money, my guy.
I'll Venmo you a dollar. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails, what's Matt and in the cop topic. All right, welcome back. Thanks to our sponsors. Speaking of sponsors, don't forget to get the brand new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. The Men's Room Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company, also good people. And then he's got the brand new Men's Room IPA Beer Brat.
Ooh. Nice. Visit the Pike Place shop. Love it.
Yeah. Get down there. Sausages for everybody. Man, hope I get one down there. All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Yeah, boy, we got two. Love the show. I found the show at the beginning of the home episodes, but lost touch due to time constraints. I just started listening again, and it's still awesome. Keep up the good work, boys. Kevin. Dude, that's a great email.
Yeah.
That's honestly, I mean, that's what you really want. Just like, hey, boys, I'm back and I got your back. I don't need to try to, you know, make a joke or like, I mean, he's just like, dude, great love. Damn. I like that.
And yeah, Also, yeah, if I forget that we kept this thing going over a pandemic, it's fun hearing the home episodes reference, like, oh, you checked us out during that weird time. And then maybe we're like, maybe he's like, oh, yeah, this is like, we bring him back to the pandemic. Sometimes I get those little flashbacks. I'm like, that was kind of interesting. That was, there are some positives there. And I like when the positives of that time I'm reminded of.
Yeah. I mean, I still have a couple buddies that I'll friendly Zoom with. Like I did it with a friend on Sunday. Like we were going to get a beer, but it took me so long getting back. I was like, dude, I just want to sit on my couch. And I was like, I do want to watch that last basketball game though. So we just opened up the Zoom and like, I don't know. He ordered food. I ordered food. And like, I forget, like that was one nice thing about the Zoom or FaceTime was like seeing, like I could always talk to my family, but it was nice seeing their faces.
Dude, yeah. We got to get you streaming every game you watch. It would be so entertaining. Just watch the game with Ted. What was I going to say? Oh, next email?
Yeah.
Cool. Racing. Hey, guys. If you love F1, you should really check out FIA's other racing discipline, the WRC, World Rally Championship. Man, Ted does not need another sport right now. Rally racing is a bit different since it's not head-to-head racing. Rather, it's teams of two. The driver and the co-driver who, over 3 days, navigate special stages, tarmac, snow, and dirt. Best overall time is the winner, but with harsh conditions and unpredictable roads, sometimes to win, you just need to survive. The driver... God, what a great line. Sometimes to win, you just need to survive.
Just survive, man.
Oh, damn. That one gets me. The driver and co-driver put together pace notes that the co-driver relays to the driver as they barrel along narrow roads through villages at like 90 miles an hour. Unlike circuit racing, these drivers have only had a few days to prepare and recce the stages. WRC events are only every 4 to 6 weeks and last a few days, so it can be hard to watch all of it. But if you like watching cars go fast, check it out. There have been some F1 WRC crossover in the past. Kimi Räikkönen, wow, it's one of the coolest looking last names I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Has been in both F1 and WRC. And even Carlos Sainz, Jr.'s father, made his name as a WRC champion for many years. Hands down, the best drivers in the world are WRC drivers, or at least they have the biggest balls. When in doubt, flat out, Tony.
I like it.
Dude, I love that. Wow.
A hell of a sales pitch.
Yeah. Best drivers in the world. There you go.
If I'm going to go to an IndyCar race, obviously the Indy 500 would be awesome to see. But Matt, I've been thinking about you. Apparently one of the bigger races, they just had it last weekend, is Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt returns to the OC. Ted watches some IndyCar racing. I think that's a trip we should hook up.
That's an easy drive for me.
Yeah, right? I was just like... Ah, no kidding. Long Beach is a big event, huh?
Yeah, just straight that way.
Yeah, dude. God, I honestly wonder sometimes about like your search history. Like, I'm just like, imagine you sitting in your house and you're like, you know what? Let's just take a quick look. Just see if there's anything close. Long Beach, California, you say?
Well, I do like, what was that in the fall? Like, we had a pretty good Saturday night and get up on Sunday and like I'm sleeping in Cobb's bed. He had slept in the closet, or it's a giant closet, but he like comes into the bedroom. He's like, and I'm just sitting there on my phone already watching Red Zone. He's like, are you awake? I'm like, yeah, man. Packers are up 3. He's like, Jesus, man.
That was pretty funny.
No, I'm good to go.
Ted's good, man.
All right. Well, let's check in with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt,
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt,
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with What's Matt.
I kind of just want to go back to talking about swimming with Cobb. Yeah, it's been a good week. Friday night, I don't think we did much. No, we hung out. And then I worked Saturday, and then Saturday was 4:20. So as soon as I got off work at 2, we had to rush over to the bank to get settled in before it was actually 4:20 on 4:20 at the 4:20 bank. And, you know,
how
saw
packed was it on 4:20?
It was a good crowd. It was a good turnout. Right. And, you know, yeah, they had a, you know, a lot of vendors and a lot of musical acts. It felt like they were turning the stage over every 20 minutes or something to get through them. But they're all pretty good. And, you know, by the downtown Palm Springs standards, like, I know where I'm at. It was fun. And so we hung out there for a while, you know, through 4:20. I don't remember exactly when we left. But we headed over to Carson the lawyer and his girlfriend's new house. They just got a new place. And nice. It's closer to downtown Palm Springs than their old place was. It's definitely further from us than their old place was, but it's kind of one of those things, you just move out a few miles and you can get a lot more house. And it's a great house. I was blown away. It was so cool. And great kitchen. His girlfriend made us some Thai food that was just out of this world. It was so good. Those drunken noodles and these like little fish cakes that, you know, she's like, no, those aren't in the States and Thai restaurants, but like they're in Thailand, they're good, you know, like welcome.
Is she Thai?
Yeah, she's Thai, so she knew what was up. She had everything down, and you know, she crushed it. Earlier that day I'd gotten a text of like, hey, you know, she would like something particularly indulgent for dessert, and so we knew that meant one thing. And on the way from the bank, we went to the Jewish deli named Sherman's that I've talked about multiple times on this podcast. And
I have seen it on food shows in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's legendary. And their desserts, like, they got so much good food, but their desserts are just like just as good as any of the food that they're famous for, too. And, you know, it's tough to like pick when it comes time for dessert. There's times where I'm like, I don't want to go to Sherman's because I don't know what I'd get. It's too overwhelming. Like, you know, that's a real concern there, both on the food front and then also at dessert. So luckily, we knew there was four of us. So we got four desserts that we had to like narrow it down by like, what could we cut up into fourths well and like do a custom sampler platter. And so with those parameters, we were able to cut through a lot of the stuff and, you know, make a somewhat easy decision on dessert. Four awesome desserts that we followed it up with. And, you know, it's just exciting, you know, seeing your friend's new place. And this one was particularly sweet. He's already like, this is what we're going to do for college football season. We're going to have two other TVs over there. The main one's going to be way bigger. And, you know, yeah, just hearing the plans and seeing the new place was a lot of fun. And then we watched the No Doubt live stream from Coachella. Like,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, had to go get that experience. And, you know, they're our age. They're from the 90s. They're both huge fans. Like, obviously, Carson's girlfriend's a girl from the 90s. And Carson's like, dude, I had Tragic Kingdom. And so, you know, they had a lot of fun checking out No Doubt. I just all week last week, I was like, damn, dude, I did not love No Doubt so much. Like, how great was that concert? It was super great. But, you know, you start thinking of it and like, no, that was one of those ones that I'm going to remember for a long time, that'll stick out like for years. And so, yeah, you know, they got to check it out, get much better like views on YouTube. So it was a great, great live stream too. It was fun to be there the first week, and it was way better to see what was going on stage, watching on YouTube.
Did you see Kid Cudi jumped off the stage and broke his foot?
Yes. Yes. Tyler and I saw that, the next day. Yeah, here. That was wild.
Yeah, it's funny when Cobb, did you see that?
Mm-mm. I love Cuddy, though.
Yeah. And he had a massive crowd. You know, to Cuddy's credit, I forgot how many songs of his are just awesome.
Yeah.
And the crowd's going nuts. Prime. Yeah. And he jumps off the stage and you see him kind of react. And then, like, yeah, the next day he's like, yeah, so I'm 40, not in my 20s anymore. I guess I shouldn't be jumping off stages. Just like, oh, that's brutal.
That is brutal, especially mid-show.
Yeah, that was tough to. It was wild because, like, the songs kept playing, you know? And it felt like the vocals were turned down so that he could sing over them. But, you know, it was just, he wasn't there. But it took us a minute, even with the live stream, we're like, where is he? Like, he's not singing, you know? And so I was like, I saw him jump into the crowd, but I thought he was just in the crowd and they didn't have a camera of him. And then we started looking online and eventually figured it out after a set. So, yeah, that was Sunday too. It was just kind of chill, you know, do some chores. And, you know, yeah, we were just smoking blunts and watching the live stream, just kind of couchella with air conditioning.
Also, shout out to the NBA and NHL, man. I don't follow them a ton during the year, but man, the playoff games are just fun.
Playoffs are so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched Denver break the Lakers' heart last night. I was like, oof, it's a tough one.
Yeah, we already got tickets for game one of the Firebirds playoffs, but it's TBD because we got the first round bye.
Chilling.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, probably doesn't sound as exciting as going to Coachella, but like that sounds like a pretty fun weekend. Hanging out with some buds, got a little, you know, you had to go to work for a little bit. I'm like, Matt, that does sound fun.
Oh, man. Yeah. Great.
Also, I just love the melting pot that America's supposed to be. You're in the desert with your buddy's Thai girlfriend or wife making authentic Thai food. And then you showed up with desserts from a Jewish deli. And again, you're all in a random town in the desert that exists because of modern technology. I'm just like, all right, that's America.
Dude, yeah. You walk into the 420 bank, you can't help but get a little patriotic. You're like,
yeah,
this is awesome. Saying. And like for everybody, like you it's like everybody loves like shit on modern times or like shit on America. You walk into the 420 bank, you're like, America rules and right now rules.
Yeah. I told you years ago, I was in Leavenworth. And it was probably like the second or third time I had been there. I'm like, I'm there with this girl and like a horse-drawn carriage walks by with just this family that's clearly from India. And I just looked at her. I go, this is what I'm talking about. This is what America's about. She's like, what? I'm like, we're in a fake Bavarian village in the middle of nowhere, Washington. And they are clearly from India. And they're just cruising by in a horse-drawn carriage. Like, hey, this is the fun stuff.
Yeah. Dude, seriously. I love all the culture clashes. And Matt, you're right. We are living on the best timeline right now. I think we're living at the peak of human existence. And it's crazy how much stuff we have. I've fully flipped from negative to like, holy shit, I can't believe we're alive.
Yeah, I mean, I can get negative quickly, but that's why I'm like, dude, I'm just enjoying it while we got it. And, you know, it's felt like a fragile system as long as I've known you, Cobb. You were, when you said very early on, you were like, it's a fragile system, boys. Like, those single-digit episodes. Like, so early on, I was like, I like this guy. He gets it. But, you know, we've hung in the delicate balance all this time, and you know, I'm glad, you know, we got to enjoy a lot of things.
It can all collapse. Store food, buy guns.
You know.
I know.
Carpe diem.
There is some of that. Like, I remember a few years ago, like all the hoity-toity foodie people were like, I hate the word fusion. I'm like, I don't. I want.
Shut up.
There's the Mexican and Japanese dude that are going to make Mexican sushi. In
yeah
whatever,
dude. Ted, we're the same guy. I literally was going on a rant about this last night with when we were driving. I was just like, yes, like fusion food, 1000% in. Like, oh, we had this new like morphed baby between these two cultures, food that we love. Like, yeah, I don't know how to make that. I don't know how to make even either of the two cultures components to that. Like, it's you know, something new that we're giving birth to here.
Hey,
I mean, in our lifetime, we could see like the next mac and cheese or cheeseburger or something like that get born. I mean, we've already seen the Cronut, you know, sky's limit.
I could go for some Austin brisket and queso on a slice of pizza somehow. I feel like someone down there could figure that out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, brisket has expanded into tacos. I think Italian food is only a matter of time.
Matt, there is a chance at some point on Saturday night we might have to make that happen. Like, dude, hang on. Let me run down to my room. I have some Terry Black's brisket left over. I was like, I'll acquire some queso. You order the pizza.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, will be pizza late night at the wedding. So one step. So we each contribute one step. Matt gets queso. Ted gets brisket, and we're good to go.
And then we have to find you because it's your special night and make sure you get a slice. That's like our mission.
Like Cobb, we have a mutual friend that you went to college with, and at her wedding, that was the first time I had seen that done. I thought it was a pro move. Like, it was an awesome wedding, like great venue and this and that. And then like, as the music was starting to wind down, like pizza dude just showed up with like 20 pies. And I was like, oh
yeah,
that is a pro. Cause people have been, I mean, even people that don't really drink a lot of alcohol at a wedding will put down some drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Pizza just, it hits. We had already talked about this, but I was at a wedding in Colorado 2 weeks ago, and in the lobby of the hotel, one dude, just a random wedding, you know, attendee, ordered 10 Domino's pizzas. And oh my God, it was heaven.
Especially too, as weddings are one of those environments where like people might drink a little more, people might eat something they don't generally eat. And it's just like, yeah, screw it. Let's get some pizza at the end of the night. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
All right. So this one is, I don't know. You can go as deep or as light as you want. But a friend of mine, close friend of mine, had his dad pass away a few months back, and he had to go through all of his stuff. And one of the things that was there was his laptop. And he was like, I don't know if I want to go on this thing or not. Maybe see things I can't unsee. Who knows what family secrets lie inside. And so I offered to go through it for him. Didn't want to. Didn't end up needing to, thank God. But it got me thinking, what is the sort of like, I don't know, funniest or most disturbing secret you've discovered about someone close to you? Feel free to email us, email@thepodcast.com. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like, you can keep it light. I don't want to hear about like murders and stuff, you know, unless you know about them, in which case email us.
Mine's pretty simple. And like, I won't say his name, but if you listen to the men's room, like, we talk about it all the time. You know what? I'll just say it.
Yes.
So, right. Cause we talk about it on the air. So Thrill that I work with, right? And for people that don't know, like, I interned for Thrill. Like, I've worked with him longer than actually Miles has known him. So I know Thrill's parents pretty well. And one day Thrill comes in on the air and his mom, they're watching football, and the Geico Gecko shows up at a commercial. And for some reason, she should have kept this all to herself, but she was like, I find him attractive. And I mean, I have never let it go. And I'm like, on the air, I'll be like, dude, she should have never. He's like, I know. He goes, I don't know if I should have brought it up on the air. He's like, I can't look at the gecko now without being like, your mom finds him attractive. Like, he's a gecko.
Yeah, he's not even a real gecko.
Yes. Cartoon. I mean, I guess that's kind of a dark, weird secret. I'm just like,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's a great one, Ted.
I mean, yeah, maybe it's because you started it by like making me think about my dad dying, but like I'll always remember the first time that my mom threw him under the bus that he smokes weed, and then the first time I smoked weed with him. Those were like big days in my life. Inspiring on a lot of levels.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's a good secret. Like, especially if you're a kid, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's still special every time. It's not like all the time, but you know, it's happened and it's like, this is the coolest. So
has he been to the 420 bank? You don't have to say if you don't want to.
I'm trying to, yes. Yes, I was trying to think.
Nice.
And then it's like, you know,
that increases my respect for him.
The bud tenders like know me and are like saying what's up. It's just a funny thing.
Dude, it makes you feel any better. My niece, who is 21 now, graduating from college at Charleston. So I guess she had a pretty decent fake ID or whatever. But like my brother goes down to the visitor and, you know, he's just like, ah, like, should we get some beer for later or whatever? And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll go over here. And he's like, you know, in his head, he's like, well, I'll buy it. She's only 20. And he said that he walks in and the person working's like, Maddie, good to see ya. What can I get you today? And she's like, that's my dad. So imagine it's the same thing when you walk into the 420 bank. It's like, Matt, our guy, what's up, dude?
King Kush himself, what's up, brother?
Dude, even I'll tell you, even a lighter version is like, I would get on my mom sometimes. I'm like, do you ever cook at home? Like, you're just getting food out or whatever. And she's like, no, no. And I'm like, yeah, I know you are, because you talk about going to the Lido's up the street all the time, but whatever. So it's like Christmas Eve. We're having a bunch of people over at my mom's house. I'm back east, and we're going to go to that Lido's and pick up a bunch of pizza. It's what we do on Christmas Eve. That's the reason Cobb and I still eat pizza on Christmas Eve. It's just tradition. So we walk in there, and the girl behind the counter is like, hey, good to see you, blah, blah, blah. And I could see my mom's face. She's like, oh, no. And the girl's like, this is your order? Like, usually just get it. You always come in for a meatball sub and like a side salad. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm her son. I'm in town. And she's like, oh, your mom's. And the girl's just going on and on about how. And like as they're walking to the car, right? My mom doesn't say a word. And I just go, I know you haven't been cooking at home.
Oh, that's so good. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Right. Like, those would be like, right. And that's all I said. It's all we've ever talked about. Like, I know you've been lying. Like, you go in there at least 3 days a week or something. That girl's just like, not just a meatball sub and side salad.
Oh, that's awesome. That's got to feel good to get a gotcha on your parents rather than like so many times I feel like they've gotten gotchas on us, you know? Nice to have the tables turned, a little street justice.
Cobb, you're exactly right. Just to be able to say that comment, right, is I'm just holding four pizzas. I could tell she's embarrassed. I know you haven't been cooking at home. Oh, man. All right. I do got a little house cleaning work. I will be over with the rest of the men's room. Sunday will be in Olaf's in Ballard. You guys ever been there? Old school bar?
Yeah.
No. Sounds cool, though.
Yeah, we'll be there from 2 to 4 drinking the men's room IPA. And I don't know. There'll be either a playoff game of some sort on or some type of racing. So come find me. Let's watch it together.
Olaf's is literally right across the street from the apartment I lived in when I lived in Ballard.
Yeah, it looks like it's on 24th.
Yeah.
All right. It's like funny.
Right by 61st, right?
Yeah, I keep looking it up, mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know that I've ever actually been in that bar, though. But, I mean, it's supposed to be like a Seattle legend.
Yeah, I met Jake Carden from 10 Miles Wide and many other projects there one time. They had some sort of non-alcoholic beer that wasn't the one I don't like. Duels. That's cool that there's so much non-alcoholic beer that I had to think through like 8 brands that I like to get to the one that used to be the most famous.
Yeah, it was like the only one.
We made it, boys.
The Athletic Brewing ones are pretty damn good.
So good.
I know. I told you, I put down 3 once, and Taryn was like, you know there's no booze in that. I was like, yeah, they're just good.
Good beer.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back next week, but for MCTP, for Kyle, I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is The Podcast. Cheers.